This is Conversations on Healthcare. I'm Mark Maselli.
And I'm Margaret Flinter.
Well, Margaret, tis the season to be shopping. Not only are we in the holiday season, we're also several weeks into open enrollment under the Affordable Care Act. We've seen a bit of a reversal from the first open enrollment. I think more than a bit of a reversal. They've had a great kickoff. The online portals are all working pretty smoothly at the state and federal levels this time around, but not as many Americans are rushing to shop for insurance coverage online.
But people do need to be reminded to re-up their health insurance plans or it will be done for them. And it might be a good idea, while folks are doing that, to do some comparison shopping, see if there's a better, more appropriate deal for them or more comprehensive coverage, because in many places there are more plans to choose from this year, and more choice is almost always better for the consumer.
I don't know about you, but I have a feeling that open enrollment draws to a close. More people will rush to sign up for coverage to avoid tax penalty. Open enrollment ends on February 15th.
Well, while we're speaking of shopping, somebody else is shopping as well, Mark. VA Secretary Robert McDonald says that he is looking to hire new healthcare providers across the country, and he estimates that the VA needs to hire about 28,000 more physicians and nurses to meet the needs of their patient population. That is a staggering figure.
That's a big number. And McDonald is the former CEO of Procter & Gamble, so he certainly knows how to sell products. And he's been doing a round of several medical schools to sell practitioners in training on the notion of quality career in the VA. He says it's an uphill climb to sell the perception, but it's his primary mission in his quest to turn the Veterans Administration around.
Well, it's an interesting approach, Mark, and he's offering these clinicians in training a picture of comfortable salaries, long-time positions, funded research opportunities, even loan repayment, I understand, and also the chance to serve a population that's very much in need and growing.
And observers say the VA needs much more than personnel. They need to update antiquated systems, technologies, and protocols. That's going to take some time as well.
Well, we wish them well with that quest. And our guest today is on the cutting edge of breakthrough technologies that could one day revolutionize the way we deliver and use healthcare. Dr. Eric Veery is the medical and technical director of the Qualcomm Tricorder XPRIZE Challenge and the Nokia Sensing X Challenge at the XPRIZE Foundation, both competitions seeking innovations that can put the power of health diagnostics right in the palm of your hand.
That's great. Dr. Veery will beam us all up, and he'll tell us about some of the remarkable breakthroughs that have already come out of these competitions.
And Mark, Lori Robertson, the managing editor of FactCheck.org, also stops by. She's always on the hunt for misstatements spoken about health policy in the public domain.
But no matter what the topic, you can hear all of our shows by going to CHC Radio. And as always, if you have comments, please find us on Facebook, Twitter, LinkedIn, and Google+. We love hearing from you.
We'll get to our interview with Dr. Eric Veery in just a moment.
But first, here's our producer, Mary Ann O'Hare, with this week's headline news.
I'm Mariano here with these healthcare headlines. Wall Street has been in some record territory lately, and it's bullish on something else, Obamacare. A group of Wall Street analysts recently predicted a higher-than-expected turnout to sign up for Obamacare during the second round of open enrollment. The analysts cite more robust insurance exchange portals operating more efficiently, more young, healthy, uninsured Americans seeking coverage, and the added incentive of avoiding a tax penalty will lead more coverage seekers to the exchange portals. Analysts are predicting 11 million people will enroll in individual health plans during the second round of open enrollment. The analysts agreed that enrollment would be unaffected by the Supreme Court's decision to hear a lawsuit challenging the provision of subsidies to residents of states relying on the federal exchange. Currently, only 14 states ran their own marketplaces this year. Meanwhile, another study out shows that, yes, more Americans are insured under Obamacare, but that higher deductibles and out-of-pocket costs are making it difficult for many to afford their medical bills. And a quarter of those uninsured folks polled still felt they couldn't afford to purchase health coverage. Still, many Americans unaware they qualify for subsidies to offset the cost of buying insurance. And there's still uncertainty about those who are re-upping their insurance after signing up during the first open enrollment. Plans will automatically be renewed, but customers may find there's a better, more affordable plan that better suits them by shopping around. Ebola continues to be a problem for several West African nations, and the hunt for a cure continues unabated as well. The FDA has fast-tracked an unapproved blood transfusion system for Ebola patients taken from folks who've survived the virus. The idea is to take a convalescent plasma supply that's been through pathogen inactivation, as critical to making this therapy readily available as new Ebola patients are diagnosed and urgently require treatment. And the city of Vancouver is looking at a new way to battle the scourge of heroin addiction, creating heroin dispensaries for the most challenged addicts. The experimental treatment being tried for patients who don't respond to methadone or other therapies. And sleep experts have been warning for some time that the early start time for high school students in this country is hampering their learning outcomes. Teens require more sleep than the average person and are chronically sleep deprived. Apparently, the poor resulting performance is not just limited to the classroom. Sleep deprivation is now being cited as a major factor in teen car crashes. When a teen whines that they're tired, parents are advised to listen. Could be hazardous to their driving health. I'm Marianne O'Hare with these healthcare headlines.
We're speaking today with Dr. Eric Veery, Medical and Technical Director for the Qualcomm Tricorder X Prize and the Nokia Sensing X Challenge, ongoing global competition seeking to develop the next generation of health sensors and diagnostic tools that will transform healthcare. Dr. Veery is adjunct professor in the UC San Diego departments of neuroscience, surgery, and cognitive science, and is a scholar in residence at the Arthur C. Clarke Center for Human Imagination. Dr. Veery received his PhD in neurophysiology and medical degree at the University of Western Ontario in Canada. He's also in the inaugural class at the International Space University and has done research for the National Institute of Health, the U.S. Navy, and NASA. Dr. Veery, welcome to Conversations on Healthcare.
Thanks very much. I'm so excited to be able to talk about XPRIZE and our competition.
Yeah, great. No, it's great. And certainly the Qualcomm Tricorder XPRIZE takes its name from the medical device used by the physician Bones on Star Trek, as well as the Nokia Sensing X Challenge, which is seeking to create a portable health lab that can work in the palm of anyone's hands. But before we get into the particulars of those challenges, tell us a bit of the background of the X Prize. And as I understand it, it was based on competitions in the early 20th century aimed at spurring innovation in transatlantic aviation. Charles Lindbergh was an early winner. So who are some of the key players behind the modern incarnation of the X Prize Foundation? And what are some of the goals and unifying principles of all the X Prize competitions currently underway?
Sure. So our founder, Dr. Peter Diamandis, was really inspired by reading the story of the Spirit of St. Louis, which was flown across the Atlantic by Charles Lindbergh to win the Ortieg Prize to spur aviation, which it did, which led to hundreds and thousands of flights even in just 2 years after the original flight across the Atlantic. So Peter is our founder and our anchor, but we have so many amazing people that have really helped XPRIZE Foundation along the way. Some of the key people include Anusha Ansari from the Ansari family, who really took a leap of faith on a crazy guy with a dream of a prize to start spaceflight, and she and her family funded the original XPRIZE, which was won 10 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
And we have just a stellar list of trustees, Sergey and Larry from Google, and Eric and Wendy Schmidt, Elon Musk, James Cameron, Rob McEwen from Canada, all kinds of really exciting people, and I'm just embarrassed because I can't list them all. And really just a wonderful group of people who totally believe in the mission of XPRIZE. And so our vision is to fill in the gap. So there are many R&D kinds of enterprises and ways they're funded. Of course, there are startup companies with a dream, big pharma companies who want to create a blockbuster drug, and then there is the basic research funded by research foundations and, of course, mostly by government institutions. But there are things in the middle that aren't going to be an immediate investment payoff necessarily, and are not necessarily things that are fundamental research, but are goals that human society might think are important, like non-governmental spaceflight. You know, government space programs are spurred on by the space race, but taking people into space is a different goal now. And so our foundation looks at things like the health of the oceans, literacy, even abstruse things like happiness, and of course, health and human well-being.
Well, Dr. Veery, I really appreciate and relate to that XPRIZE directive of creating a bold and audacious goal that has the potential to improve the lives of people everywhere. And you have certainly had a front row seat to some pretty awe-inspiring innovations. So perhaps we could take a look first at the Nokia Sensing X Challenge. You recently announced an interim challenge winner, a relatively small startup from Cambridge who produced a pretty revolutionary diagnostic device. What made their product so revolutionary?
So healthcare in the palm of your hand means it has to fit in the palm of your hand. And so the revolution is taking things that are huge devices that are the size of refrigerators and making them literally things that can comfortably fit on your body. And so Team DMI from Cambridge, headed by Dr. Eugene Chen, is our most recent Nokia Sensing X Challenge winner. And his technology is just really cool because he's developed this way of managing tiny amounts of fluids of blood and analyzing that very carefully and quantitatively, and then even taking like the chemical strips that we would use at home for testing the pool and doctors use in the office, and taking them to the nanoscale so that these things are millions of times smaller than the ones that you hold in your hand. They're contained in the blood sample and then run through a beautiful microfluidic system that passes it by a barcode reader. So Eugene and his team has been able to build a thing that is thousands of times smaller and using tiny amounts of blood to do analysis that now requires a hospital laboratory. Mm-hmm. Another one that I'd like to bring up is Dr. Esther Rodriguez-Villegas from the UK. And she has really cool technology that is a small button-sized sensor that carries both the power and the transmitters and the sensors to analyze the acoustics of breathing. And so for children with things like crib death or adults with things like obstructive sleep apnea, this small sensor can be placed on your neck unobtrusively and be worn for hours and then look at things like disorders of breathing during sleep. So just a cool miniaturization of technologies that now require, you know, straps and belts and things stuck all over your body that can be used even on premature babies.
You know, Dr. Veery is a longtime Star Trek fan. I love that you're harnessing the imagination of science fiction, the tricorder from Star Trek, to spur developers to bring that concept to reality in these current times. Tell us about some of the leading contenders in this competition and the ideas they're generating and how you're judging these potential disruptors in healthcare technology. And what are some of the key criteria you consider when picking a winner?
So we have so many exciting teams in the tricorder competition. We have 10 finalists now from all over the world. Team DMI, the Nokia Sensing X Challenge winner, is one of our contenders in tricorder, and Eugene is planning a whole integrated system with his our health platform. We have some neat teams from overseas, like Team Dan Vantry from India, which has amazing cost efficiencies in building sensor systems so that they can be used throughout India, and Team Dynamical Biosignals from Taiwan, a home team for me being a Canadian, Cloud DX from Toronto, again putting a variety of different sensors into platforms, and another really cool one from here in the United States, Final Frontier, which is really bringing a strong AI approach to the tricorder competition. So we're seeing this breadth of things like sensors all the way to artificial intelligence technologies, and in organizing the competition. It was the integration of these kinds of technologies that were really going to enable a team to win our $10 million competition.
Well, Dr. Verrier, the Qualcomm Tricorder XPRIZE competition is designed to inspire the development of a mobile device that can, quote, diagnose patients better than or equal to a panel of board-certified physicians. And certainly as clinicians, diagnostic is a key challenge, but an even more elusive challenge is getting our patients to participate in their own healthcare. Tell us about the goals of the Qualcomm Tricorder XPRIZE innovations from the perspective of how these innovations might engage or empower everyday patients into this process. Is that on the radar anyplace?
Absolutely. It's essential, and literally half of the competition criteria is consumer acceptance of the technologies. So not only do the systems have to deliver, they got to work, but people have to like them. And so, in fact, we have engaged top-level consumer survey experts as well as a world-recognized panel of user experience judges to evaluate first the potential submissions that ultimately led to our finalists. But in the finals, what will happen is the testers who will be test driving these tricorders around the block, almost literally, because some of them will be taking them home, will then, right after their use of them, have formal consumer surveys. And so these surveys were designed to really elucidate, how do they like them? Is this something that you would use in your regular daily life? And literally half of our competition criteria are from those consumer surveys. And this really leverages our whole smartphone lifestyle now, where, you know, literally on your smartphone you can order a plane ticket, check in, and never have a piece of paper. And the final frontier for that really is professional health care.
We're speaking today with Dr. Eric Verrier, Medical and Technical Director for both the Qualcomm Tricorder XPRIZE and the Nokia Sensing X Challenge. Dr. Verrier is adjunct professor at the UC San Diego Departments of Neuroscience, Surgery, and Cognitive Science. So, Dr. Verrier, we're at this fertile intersection of medicine, technology, design, and innovation. And so much of modern day innovation has been the result of government-funded research. And we're certainly in a sticky political climate where scientific funding agendas are being challenged. Tell our listeners how the competitions like XPRIZE Foundation fill the gap, and what can we take from the sort of moonshot experience that might inform this new wave of innovation?
Well, certainly I worry about reductions in funding from foundations and governments. The understanding of basic research is always something that is important to society. But these grand challenges have a long history of really making accomplishments. We talked about Lindbergh, and remember one of the biggest incentive prizes was the Longitude Prize, the development of clock funded by the British government. And so there are places. I don't know that incentive prizes are for everything and for every problem. As you describe it, it's filling the gap. It's taking that human initiative and that competitiveness that we all have and spurring it towards good, whether it's robotic cars or XPRIZEs like ours with health of the oceans or the health of human beings.
Well, Dr. Verrier, we often say that our young staff come in as digital natives, but they often bump up in healthcare against systems that are a little bit far removed from that reality. And we know that a goal for these big, bold, audacious goals is to have not just an audacious solution, but an actionable one. Maybe you could share with our listeners a little bit, how do you think about helping then move these solutions into action within the healthcare system? And presumably, the things you've described today have tremendous ability to both make healthcare more fair and equitably distributed around the world, and also the potential for billions of dollars in cost savings, just thinking about the handheld sensor, right, and all that would flow from that if that were put into place. So what's your level of sort of engagement or involvement in seeing these ideas through to actual implementation?
In fact, that's actually what we are directly about with XPRIZE. And I like to tell a story from one of our other competitions, the Progressive Automotive XPRIZE. Prize, which was for fuel efficiency, which was 7 or 8 years ago a crazy goal, a car that could get 100 miles per gallon. And so the competition was about, can people build competitive vehicles mm-hmm. that would be safe and drivable and be extremely fuel efficient? And the cool part was that through the competition, a formulation came called MPGE, miles per gallon equivalent, so that they compare different kinds of fuels like hydrogen and electricity as well as conventional hydrocarbons. And the cool part is that MPGE is now part of the parlance. I had the great mm-hmm. fortune of being able to buy an electric car here in California, and on the window sticker, the big numbers were there up in the corner that says MPGE, and my car that I could buy on the lot was 116 MPGE. Wow. And so a car that is fabulous, and so that's what we do at XPRIZE. We take things that seem crazy and show that they can work. And so that's what we've done with the Automotive XPRIZE, and that's my dream for Tricorder. That my real dream is being a total Trekkie myself, having watched Star Trek in high school and met so many of the Star Trek people, is that the word Tricorder itself will come to be a term of art, a term of common parlance. So maybe next year in the Oxford English Dictionary, we'll see tricorder as being a new word that has common meaning, meaning these sensor systems that we hold in the palm of our hand that are not just apps, not mm-hmm. just computing, mm-hmm. but have all the sensors built into them that can really help us with our health.
You know, just as a side note, I wonder if you what type of excitement you get from the work of people maybe who didn't come through the XPRIZE, but sort of are doing the work that I think would come out of an XPRIZE. Elizabeth Holmes, who certainly is pioneering this whole idea of just a single drop of blood where she can do 70 lab tests in her company, Theranos.
Yeah, so Theranos is just really exciting.
Yes.
And, you know, we see Apple and Google, Johnny come latelys now. And ironically, that's exactly what we want to do with XPRIZE, is make these things not just our XPRIZE competitors, although, of course, they're our babies and we love them all, and think and see that just by being XPRIZE competitors, they get a leg up in that competitive world of technology. But as I say, literally, as I was saying a moment ago, the idea of having the tricorder, this idea of, oh yeah, this is normal, this can work, these things can really happen, and that's what we're really trying to do by showing the way in a public way that will enable these technologists to ride that visibility and say, yeah, we can do these things so easily.
Dr. Vuori, what are the next steps for the XPRIZE competition? We've accrued all these promising technologies and participants. How is the role of the XPRIZE Foundation going to evolve in this next phase? And once the winner is announced next year, how does the foundation facilitate next steps for these breakthrough innovations? How do we get these innovations adopted in clinical training programs as well as in that front line of care?
Well, and so what are the next prize for the XPRIZE competition? So next year in 2015, we're going to be running the actual test program where we've been doing something that has never been done before, a medical device competition. And so I'm so proud and excited that UC San Diego has stood up along with XPRIZE to create this test program where people with 20 different conditions will be identified, and then they'll be enrolled into our competition, and the tricorders will be brought to them. So this is not a paperwork exercise. The tricorders will really be driven around, really be tested by our human testers, and we will be determining how well the tricorders pick up the conditions, as well as the consumer surveys that I was talking about before. And so what I think is really exciting, not only about the competition and the test program, is that this is going to establish a whole new industry mm-hmm. where these technologies will be tested. And in fact, we've established a really productive and collegial cooperation with the FDA, who is working closely with us to manage our competition, but also to have a look at what the future of these mobile health technologies are going to look like.
We've been speaking today with Dr. Eric Veery, Medical and Technical Director for both the Qualcomm Tricorder XPRIZE and the Nokia Sensing X Challenge. You can learn more about his work by going to www.xprize.org. Dr. Veery, thank you so much for joining us on Conversations on Healthcare today.
My pleasure.
At Conversations on Healthcare, we want our audience to be truly in the know when it comes to the facts about healthcare reform and policy. Lori Robertson is an award-winning journalist and managing editor of FactCheck.org, a nonpartisan, nonprofit consumer advocate for voters that aim to reduce the level of deception in U.S. politics. Lori, what have you got for us this week?
We found both Democrats and Republicans stretching the facts about the role MIT economist Jonathan Gruber played in the creation of the Affordable Care Act after controversial comments by Gruber came to light. At an October 2013 health economics conference, Gruber said that, quote, lack of transparency is a huge political advantage. And he referred to the stupidity of the American voter in talking about the passage of the law. Once the video began circulating online, Gruber told MSNBC that he basically spoke inappropriately, but the damage was done. Representative Nancy Pelosi said in a blog post that Gruber had only testified at one Senate hearing. He actually testified at three. Obama called him, quote, some advisor who never worked on our staff. Yes, he wasn't on the White House staff, but he was a paid consultant on health care, earning hundreds of thousands of dollars over the course of a year. Meanwhile, conservatives, including Representative Bill Cassidy of Louisiana, have overstated Gruber's role, claiming he was the architect of the law. Gruber, who advised former Massachusetts Governor Mitt Romney on health care, has described himself in the past as one of the architects of the Massachusetts law, but not the federal one. He said that he worked as a technical consultant to the Obama administration from 2009 to 2010. That mirrors what others who worked closely on the law told us. Gruber was hired by the Department of Health and Human Services for a one-year contract to provide technical assistance that involved using his micro-simulation model to determine the impact of health policy. He was paid $400,000 for the contract. He may not have written the law, but Obama and Pelosi's comments brush aside the fact that he was a highly paid consultant whose modeling work was instrumental in determining the impact of health care policy. At the same time, the claim that Gruber was the architect overstates his role and overlooks the role of many others in the administration and Congress. And that's my fact check for this week. I'm Lori Robertson, managing editor of FactCheck.org.
FactCheck.org is committed to factual accuracy from the country's major political players and is a project of the Annenberg Public Policy Center at the University of Pennsylvania. If you have a fact that you'd like checked, email us at chcradio.com. We'll have FactCheck.org's Lori Robertson check it out for you here on Conversations on Healthcare. Each week, Conversations highlights a bright idea about how to make wellness a part of our communities and everyday lives. An estimated 22 veterans per day are taking their own lives in what's being described as a post-war suicide crisis. With a lack of behavioral health clinicians available for every veteran who's experiencing difficulty, the VA has launched a campaign aimed at all Americans who know veterans who may be struggling to be aware that they can make a difference just by reaching out. It's called the Power of One campaign, the idea that one person reaching out to one veteran in a caring manner can make a difference.
The power of one small action, one conversation, or one phone call can make a difference in the life of a veteran going through a difficult time. For free 24/7 confidential support, call the Veterans Crisis Line or the Military.
According to Dr. Caitlin Thompson, Deputy Director of VA Suicide Prevention Program, it takes only a moment and just one small act can start them down the path to getting the support they need. The VA has launched a new suicide prevention hotline. It's now collaborating with community groups across the country to prepare them to better address the needs of these veterans, many of whom don't know how to ask for the help they need. Veterans, service members, and anyone concerned about them can call the Veterans Crisis Line, 1-800-273-8255. They can chat online at veteranscrisisline.net/chat or send a text to 838-255, even if they're not registered with the VA or enrolled in VA healthcare. All Veterans Crisis Line resources are optimized for mobile devices. a dedicated program aimed at reaching out to veterans across the country, empowering community groups and individuals to find ways of offering support to getting veterans the help they need before it's too late. Now that's a bright idea. This is Conversations on Healthcare. I'm Margaret Flinter.
And I'm Mark Maselli. Peace and health.
Conversations on Healthcare, broadcast from the campus of WESU at Wesleyan University, streaming live at WESUFM.org and brought to you by the Community Health Center.